sound. Well, this whole month is about peace, and it's based on Deepak Chopra's book, Peace is the Way, which is a very, very good book. We have a couple in our bookstore if you want to read these ideas yourself. But first of all, I start with, today is the Ides of March, and most of us know this. Beware the Ides of March, right? Beware the Ides of March, and Caesar says the Ides of March have come but not gone, because this is the day that he is, of course, murdered. The day. So isn't it a perfect day to talk about the myth of security? The myth of security. There he was. The emperor of Rome had everything, all of the money, all of the power, all of the armies, and was murdered by his own people on the Ides of March. My topic today is the myth of security. And it's quite a curious title, isn't it? The myth of security. Why would security be a myth? But I've already given you a hint that we can collect, we can have so much, we can prepare so much. And yet, the thing that we truly need, the only thing, the one thing, is an awareness of the presence of God in our lives. That's the one thing. The idea, the awareness that the universe is for us, that we live in a friendly place, and it's safe to be here. So, Ernest Holmes said this, "The greatest good that can come to anyone is the absolute certainty of himself and of his relationship to the universe, forever removing the sense of heaven as being outside himself. Such an understanding teaches us that there can never come a time when we shall stop progressing. Such an understanding will rob man of his loneliness and give him a sense of security which knows no fear." Will give him, her, us, a sense of security which knows no fear. There's the only culprit that there is fear. That is the issue. Being afraid is the issue. Such an understanding will rob man of his loneliness and give him a sense of security that knows no fear. So that's the direction we're moving, the sense of security that knows no fear, that is confident, that knows that God is source and everywhere present. God is right here in this very room, in you, as you, right now. And it's about remembering it. So I'll just tell you a little bit about what Chopra says, because I think our point for us as metaphysicians is not to buy into the myth, but to tell a new story, to tell a new story about our security. But what Chopra says, just to be honest with the book, he says the myth of security is that money, technology, and arms will give us security. And he makes a pretty good case about how it's a myth, it doesn't work. But most of us, most societies, and most nations have bought into it, money, technology, and arms, will give a sense of security. Well, at the end of the Cold War, we realized that stockpiling nuclear weapons wasn't really giving us any security at all. They could have blown the whole world up, 10 times with what Russia had and what the United States had. So they started dissembling them. Okay, so let's talk about money. In the book, he reminds us the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. And he also reminds us of this great, wonderful man, St. Francis of Assisi. Francis was a nobleman. He was a rich man. This is in the 1200s, so you know what war were they fighting? Who knows? Crusades. They were fighting the Crusades, so it was bloody. And it was supposed to be noble. And every religious war that's ever been fought is not noble. But anyway, so he went to the Crusades and he got sick, went home, went again to fight, got sick again. And the second time when he was sick, he heard the voice of God in him. He heard it in nature. He heard the birds talking to him. He heard the animals talking to him. And he knew that he had to minister to these things. He wasn't a priest. He was a nobleman. But when his father heard what he was going to do, he said, okay, your inheritance is out. And that he said it in the church, and so St. Francis took off all of his clothes, went naked, because he said, I don't want your wealth. I don't want your wealth. I want God's grace, which I know is everywhere present. So do we have to be like St. Francis and give up everything? No, you can still stay seated and keep your clothes on. Yeah, please. But the whole idea is that how much money you amass will not determine your security, as it won't mine either, because life happens to us no matter what. And if we're putting all our faith in something, anything outside of ourselves, whether it's money or the next one was putting our faith in technology. Now, I like technology. In fact, this is a great time. Take out your smartphones and let people know where you are and what a good time you're having. That someone did that 2 weeks ago, and I was very happy because a friend came the next week. So I'm not kidding. It's a good thing to do. Take out your smartphone, let them know you're here. Anyhow, so technology can have a benefit, can't it? It has a benefit. But what Chopra was saying, we had such a belief that technology would only produce good, and then the atomic bomb was created, and people were vaporized. And so we had to rethink, is this technology the answer to security? Well, I guess it isn't. We know it isn't. And then the last was arms. And again, we can see here with the two of the groups that were fighting against don't have a country. They don't have a country. The war on terror doesn't have, there's not a country. Now, there may be a lot of Al-Qaeda or ISIS in a certain country, but it's not the country. So we can see that security isn't going to come from that either. So then, where is it going to come from? Back to Ernest Holmes. He tells us to develop a relationship with the universe, with God, and let that be our security. And I say, and tell a new story. Tell a new story about peace. His whole book is about peace is possible through consciousness. When the turning point, when the collective consciousness is more people are for peace than for solving violent means, peace will occur. Peace will occur. Well, I'm ready for it. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for it. I'm ready for peace to be what is occurring. I came across a poem that I'd want to share with you. There is a website that you might be interested in. It's called Spirituality in Practice. And it's really a great website. You can go and you can look up various practices. And the practice for peace is very easy. And of course, I gave you 7 practices last week. How many did them? Hands up. Good. Yay. So I must admit, I didn't get past Tuesday because by Wednesday, I'd forgotten what the practice was. Am I alone? Maybe, maybe not. If you wrote them down, that's a good idea. But here's an easy practice. Next time you feel anxious or angry, before you respond, before you react, take a deep breath and slowly count backwards from 10. When you get to 1, choose the words that you need to say. Are they loving? Are they kind? Are they compassionate? Or is it a reaction to something? Anyway, this woman, Sarah Clausen, wrote a poem called Waging Peace. I like this idea. And she begins with a quote from Isaiah 52, verse 7. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace. And this is her poem. Not something separate. Not a convenient screen. A wall hastily fabricated to keep a conflict's blaze contained or the self safe. Nor something hammered out at tables and never sentimental, say a moonlit evening, as incandescent sky, the Pacific Ocean on a breathless day, you might as well wage peace as war. You'd have to stand exposed at the crossroads of unguarded anger, a presence, not an absence, not gritting your teeth, forcing your clenched hands open, your heart's hard core, and everything the stubborn mind conceals revealed. Disarmed, you may become disarming. The terror in your unmasked face, radiant, your unshod, wounded feet beautiful beyond words. Waging peace. See, it does, at least for me, I felt every word of that poem. I could feel it. Waging peace says it begins here. It doesn't begin in the White House. It doesn't even begin at the Department of Peace, although I think that's a great idea. It begins here, in me. It begins in you. And it begins on the personal level, in our relationships with others. It begins where instead of reacting, we respond. Instead of making wrong, or as with clenched hands open. So when we're feeling whatever we're feeling, to open up, open gently, and let that thing that is God in you to express love through you, love through you. Reverend Bruce was telling me that he has a business dealing with a man that was very angry with him, and Bruce had also had his lawyer, so he was ready to meet anger with anger and resistance with resistance, but he didn't. He stopped himself, and they had a two-hour conversation instead of a five-minute legal five-minute battle that then becomes a years-long legal battle. He stopped himself and remembered he's a negotiator, a minister, and he believes in conflict resolution and peaceful solutions to all. And so now the person that was going to sue him is offering him a business partnership. See what happens when we wage peace, when we stand for what we believe, when we say, I'm going to make a difference in my life. And when we say it and know it, it's enough. It's enough. I'm going to wage peace in my life. I'm going to unclench my hands. I'm going to lower my blood pressure, my tenseness. That doesn't mean that you won't still have passion, but you have passion for what you're for, not what you're against. Mother Teresa said it, if she wouldn't go to a war, an anti-war rally, she said, give me a peace rally and I'll be there in a minute. But I'm not going to go to something to be against something. You feel the difference? It's a huge difference. And we can make it right here, right now. And it probably isn't appropriate in this moment, but because I told Reverend Bruce's other story, Reverend Bruce tells a story about some people who were talking, and they said, when I die, I want to go peacefully in my sleep like my grandfather, not kicking and screaming like they're his passengers. Well, and we shouldn't drive if we're not capable, but can we have peace in all instances at all times? Of course we can. Our attitude is self-directed. It's up to us, right? It comes through us, from us, as us. It's up to us. So what new story, if you're going to have a myth about peace, what could you make up today? What could you say about life, about yourself, about peace of mind or peacefulness today that would be a new story that could then become the myth, the mythology of your life, the mythology that that everything works together for good? Many of you know that the meditation I favor is Holosync, and Kimberly will be happy to hear that I'm finally on to number three. We were supposed to go on to it 6 months later, but I'm finally on to number three. And in this third level of meditation, you write affirmations that are then said at a subliminal level in your own voice. I had so much fun doing that. And I got done and recorded it, and it was way too long, so then I have to stop and do it again. What are the things that you want to be known for? What are the things that you desire the difference your life to make? I knew that several of the ones, they give you a whole list that you can choose from. And the ones I like the best were, I am one with everything. All life reveals the truth around me. Peace is everywhere. I mean, this is a commercial company, and it could have been written by a scholar of the science of mind. The last section, not the whole thing, the last section. I thought, well, what do I really want to be implanting in my mind? What are the results of peace? Joy and love, harmony, that's how we know we're at peace. There's joy and love and harmony. That's what I want. And how do you create it? First of all, envision it. Envision it. See yourself in it. Are you a difference maker? You're here. I think you are. I think you are. Many years ago when we were starting the Season for Nonviolence, and there's a curriculum around Season for Nonviolence for schools, and Anita Broldy was interested in this. She went to the various schools and talked to teachers, and they all said, yes, we're really interested, but our principal has to sign off on it. The principal has to say okay. So she went to, and the principal said, the superintendent of schools has to say okay. So she went to the superintendent of schools, and he said, we're at war. Of course we're not going to teach nonviolence. I mean, my mouth was gaping open when she told me this. But that was only because everyone else she talked to along the way said, yes, this is a great idea. Teach children to choose a peaceful means of settling conflict, of seeing their life without violence. And his answer was no. Well, I don't know if it's still the same superintendent, but I suspect we might be even in a different district now, so maybe it would be something that they'd be willing to do. See yourself as a peacemaker, making a difference. So Chopra said last week, what I shared with you, the seven practices, the first one, being peace. Just take a breath right now and let peace fill your body. If you were here for the meditation, I would just use the Beatles lyric. I said, so inhale on give peace, and then exhale on at chance. Give peace at chance. Being that peace, give peace a chance. So simple, so simple. Okay, so the second one is to think ideas of peace, to think ideas of peace. And I know that that second one was the Buddhist prayer, may I be happy and loving and peaceful. May my friends be happy, loving, and peaceful. May my enemies be happy, loving, and peaceful. And then the third one's to feel peace, to feel peace. Now, when we get to the fourth one, I'm lost. So who said they did it? Who remembers what? So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. What was Wednesday's? Anyone remember? It was an action. Acted for peace. Give something away. Well, that would be a good one. If it wasn't, we'll make it that one for this week. And then to tell others about your practice. Tell others what you are doing to be peaceful. Encourage others to choose peace themselves. So, yeah, I think the fourth one was to model peace. So, okay. So even if we do the first three over and over and over again, we'll be light years ahead. So see this week, if something comes up even if it's someone passing you in traffic and gets and you feel annoyed, take that deep breath and count backwards to from 10. Some employee, some relative says something. Rather than reacting, take a moment to respond. Give peace a chance. And then you are a peacemaker. So put your hand in your heart and just feel that heart beating. The source of all life is right where you are in you, moving through you, building your body. Feel that heartbeat. Right now I decide, repeat after me, right now I decide,
right now I decide
to be peaceful,
to choose peace,
to choose compassion, and to choose love. And then just feel it. Let the energy fill you. And Diane will go into the prayer from here. So that just let the, and it's great. Feel your heartbeat. Then you know you're alive. I'm going to pray, so I don't know if you're going to be behind me while I'm praying. Are they? Okay. So for the rest of you, listen to the lyrics. Opening to the presence of power of God, which I feel right here and right now, I remind myself that there is only this one and nothing else, that it is life itself and it is the creative process everywhere. It's the beauty of the planet and the cooperation and collaboration of all life. It's a synchronicity that occurs as God's grace. So what I know is that this one is right here in this very room, in and through and as me. And in the word that I speak for each one, this is what I know. I know that something good is happening by means of this power that is God, this peace that passes understanding, this truth that is incomparable, this wholeness that is all. And so knowing that this is so, I know that this day is a choice. This day is a gift, and I make the greatest choices today. I choose peace. I choose to live in harmony with the thing that I am, the thing itself, the presence and power of God, and with my heart filled with gratitude, for I know that this is true for me and for all. I simply release this word to the action and activity of law. Please join me in saying, and so it is.